don't forget afterwards, if you have a question on tonight's story, or if you happen to have a question how to find the places in the Bible, or a question how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. No talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. Tonight in the sword drill, as we found the places in God's Word, we read that verse found in Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You see, what God is looking for is your heart. He's not asking, first of all, for your talents, for your money. No, what he's asking for is for your heart. And if you give him your heart, then we're going to find out that he's going to test you. Yes, does your talk match your walk? As you walk through this earth, does it really match what you say? Well, God tested Abraham, we found out, in many ways. The first time we found out that when Abraham was called out of that land of the Ur of the Chaldees, he was tested to just leave and go on faith. And Abram did that. He left. And he was looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, by faith he went out. But God said to him in the test that he also was to leave his kindred, his family. That was a tough one. And we find that there was partial obedience by Abram, and it took some time before he separated from his family. Remember, in the beginning of the story, that Abram's father took the lead, and they went down into the land of Haran, and there they stayed until he died. Then we found that Abram took the lead, and sometime later we find that he completed what God asked him to do because he separated from his nephew Lot. But then he was tested again in life, and you'll remember that he was tested because of the fact there came the time when he was told to send his son Ishmael away. You see, Abraham, although he is the father of faith of all those that believe, we found also that Abraham failed in the fact that he wasn't patient in waiting for God's timing. He couldn't understand how that his wife Sarah could have a baby. After all, she was now in her 80s, and how could she have a child? He couldn't understand that. And so we found out in our lessons that he had a child by Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. And because of that sin, even today, 4,000 years later, the world has got problems. Because you see, the Arabs can say that Abraham was their father, just as much as the Jews can say that Abraham is their father. And so there's been that conflict there over in the land today. And so we find that God said to him, you've got to send him away. That was a hard thing for Abram to do. He loved him. It was his son. But you see, it speaks to us of the flesh. And the flesh warreth against the spirit against the flesh, for they are contrary one to another, as the Word of God says. And as I told you, if you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, you become a new creature in Christ. And there's going to be a battle in your life between the flesh and the spirit. It's the one that you feed the most that will come out on top. Yes, we find that he was told to send him away. And when he sent him away, all he sent him away with was with bread and water. Where the Word of God says that when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we should make no provision for the flesh. Yes, he sent him only with bread and water. Well, we found out how Ishmael wandered and finally cried out to God. And then we find in the end of the tribulation period that God is going again to work with his people Israel. Well, that's yet still future. But we find that here now in tonight's story as we begin, that God was giving to Abram another test. And this time, as we read it, it says that Abram said unto, God said unto Abram, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering unto me upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Abraham could understand why God wanted him to send Ishmael away. But he had just said before that he was going to make of Isaac a great nation. Why now would God ask him to offer him as a sacrifice? Oh, you see, God was testing him all the way. And Abraham was told that he was go into the land of Moriah and there to go to the mountain that the Lord would show him. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, there in that land, it was a mountain range. There were all kinds of mountains there. But the scripture is very clear that he was to go to one of the mountains that the Lord would tell him of. There was only one mountain in view as far as God was concerned. And when he went to that mountain, he was to worship the Lord. It's the first time in the English language that we read of worship in the Word of God. And, many times today, people in Christendom and all the different churches that we have, they think there's all kinds of ways that lead to God. But we read in God's Word very clearly that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way as far as God is concerned, even for worship. And he has set aside what we call the Lord's Supper. It was what he instituted at the Last Supper just before he went to the cross. And he's asked that he would be remembered there. But today, you might ask yourself the question, where should I go to church? They can't all be right. And you're absolutely right, they can't all be right. How can we test what is right? That's why God has given us the Word of God, that we would study the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not believers in all different denominations. There are those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ and have asked for forgiveness of sin. But God has a way that he wants to be remembered. God has a way that he wants things to be done. And when he told Abram to go and offer his son, he was told of the mountain that I will show thee. And so we find that night Abraham, he had a difficult time, and he was up very early in the morning. And one might say, was he eager to go and to offer his son as a sacrifice? No. I don't believe that's why he got up early. The reason I believe that Abraham got up early is because he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep as he thought about the fact that his son was going to be offered on an altar for a sacrifice unto God. And so we find that he got up early, and because he had so many frustrations about it as he thought about it, the thing that Abram began to do was to chop the wood. Now, it would not normally be the job that Abraham would do. As wealthy as he was, he would have a servant that would chop the wood. But you see, his emotions were all stirred. And so early that morning, he got up and he began to chop the wood. Not only did he do that, but the next thing that we read about Abraham doing is that he saddled the donkey. Now, that wouldn't be a normal thing for Abraham to do either, because he had plenty of servants. But he had all these emotions, and he was having troubles. But he did believe that if he did offer Isaac on the altar, that somehow that God would come in and work in a special way, because God had promised that in Isaac it would be that he would be blessed and he would become a great nation because of him. Well, we find that after he saddled the donkey and put the wood on the donkey, he took two servants with him and Isaac, and he made his way into the land of Moriah, onto the mountain that God was going to show him. But as he went, he was deep in thought, and his head was down. Oh, there he was walking for 3 days. And as he was walking, his head was down, looking down. But I like it that it says on the third day he looked up. I always like the third day, because you see, the third day puts us on resurrection ground. It was on the third day after the Lord Jesus was crucified that he rose from the dead. And we find out here on the third day that Abraham, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place. He saw that mountain that the Lord wanted to show him. And so we find that on that third day he came to the place. And when he got to the place, he turned to his servants and he said to them, "You stay here while I and the lad go yonder and worship, and then we will return unto you." Now, those servants were left behind, and there we find the faith that Abraham had. For he said to them, "We'll return." He was going to do what God wanted him to do. And we find that just before they left the servants behind, what Abraham did is he gave to his son Isaac the wood to carry. Now in this story, we find that Abram is a type or a picture, if you please, of God the Father. And in this story, we find that Isaac is a picture of God the Son, the Lord Jesus. And it says, together they went up the mountain. Together. Two times over, it says that they went together. Now, as you see Isaac, as he carried the wood, that reminds us of the Lord Jesus, how he carried the cross as he went to that hill called Calvary. But as they went up that mountain, what Abraham carried was the fire and the knife. Now you know what the fire is for. And I think of that verse in God's Word where it says, our God is a consuming fire. Why, it was a fire that was put at the edge of the Garden of Eden so that Adam and Eve couldn't get back in. The fire again talks to us of how God is going to judge. And the Word of God says, whosoever is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, it is God who is going to use the fire, God the Father. But God the Father not only carried the fire, he carried the knife. Now you know what the knife was used for. That was to kill the sacrifice. But as they're going along, Isaac turns to his father and he says, "Father." And his father answered, "Here am I." He said, "Father, we have the fire, and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Now, I want you to notice what Isaac did not say. Isaac did not say, we have the knife. No, he didn't mention the knife. And that's very important in this story. Because, you see, this story reminds us of the Lord Jesus. And although we know that men killed him because God allowed it, yet we know the great truth of the Word of God throughout it is that God gave himself willingly, so the knife is not mentioned. So we find that he said, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And then we find that his father said these words, God will provide himself a lamb. Now that's a particular verse of scripture that the Jewish people today do not like. They don't like that verse of scripture even though it's in the Old Testament. For you see, that verse tells us that God is the Lamb and he is the only one who would be capable to become the sacrifice. Oh, listen, my friends. When John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus on this earth, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You see, not only was the Lamb provided by God, but for God. And the Jewish people don't like that because, you see, Jesus Christ is their Messiah, but they rejected him. They don't believe that he's God. But you see, he is God. He became man. Oh, so that he could die for your sins and for mine. But the Jewish people rejected him. And that's why they've been cast aside. That's why, as we talked about the other week, they've been wandering all over this earth. And they're crying for their Messiah to come, but he already came. Jesus Christ fulfilled all that was necessary. Yes, as the scriptures pointed out, and he fulfilled every one. Well, we find that the Lord, that Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And so when they got to the top of the hill, there they built an altar unto the Lord. And then we find they put the wood on top of the altar. But the next thing that we see that they did is that Isaac willingly put himself on that altar. Now, you know as you read the Word of God that they tried to stone Jesus Christ. They tried to push him over a cliff. But his hour had not come. But when his hour was come to die, and it was absolute perfect timing, it was on the Passover time because he became our Passover lamb. And that's why we no longer have to keep the Passover, because Jesus Christ became our Passover lamb. And so we find on this occasion that what Isaac did is he willingly, after his father explained that he was going to be the sacrifice, he put himself on that altar, and then his father bound him there on the altar. Now, as you read the story in Genesis chapter 22, you will see in this here story that he's on the altar to be sacrificed. And there the father, whose job it was to use the knife, stood over him to kill him. Now, it's most interesting, too, because you see, in this sacrifice, it was different than the other sacrifices. In all the sacrifices that the children of Israel offered in the Old Testament, what they would do is they would kill the sacrifice first and then put it on the altar. But not in this case. You see, Isaac was on the altar first, and then Abraham was going to kill him. How that reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Because, you see, he willingly gave himself. He was there on the cross. And then we find that he died there on the cross willingly and offered himself. So we find that there was Abraham standing over the top of him with the knife to kill him. Now, it's in this part of the story that the type changes, or the picture changes. Isaac now here is a picture of you and I. And you see, fellows and girls and men and women, that's the way it is with us. We deserve death because we've all sinned. You know, the Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only that, we find that the next thing about Isaac is that he was bound with ropes there on that altar. And so it is that the Word of God makes it very clear that we are bound in our sins, and there is nothing, nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Do you know that most religions will tell you that you can work your way to heaven? Oh, no, you can't, my friend. There's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Some people think, well, if I do enough good works, my good works will outweigh my bad works. But the Word of God says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't brag about it. You can't do anything good enough to save yourself. And there he was bound on that altar. And besides that, his father stood over the top of him with the knife ready to plunge it into him. Oh, listen, my friends. That's the picture of you. If you're outside of Christ, and you have never taken the gift of salvation, that's the position that you are in. Yes, every one of us deserve to die because of our sin. But Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. And there we find that if you don't accept him, why, that knife is hanging right over the top of you. Because if you should die, you'll go to hell. To everlasting damnation, as the Word of God makes very clear. But as Abraham was just about to put that knife into his son Isaac, the Lord cried out and said, Abraham, Abraham, stop! And Abraham, he was told to stop by the Lord, and he lifted up his eyes. It's the second time that we read about Abraham in this chapter of the Bible that he lifted up his eyes. The first time he lifted up his eyes, he saw the place, the mountain where the sacrifice was to take place. The second time now, as he lifts up his eyes, he sees a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Do you know, my friends, as we come to remember the Lord, as he's asked us to do, and we take of the bread and the wine, how great it is if you lift up your eyes and see the place that that's where you should be to remember him. But how sad it would be if you come on Sunday morning to take of the emblems, but you don't see the person. And many people can take of the emblems and never really see what it speaks about. That is about Jesus Christ. And the great thing about this whole thing is that the ram was caught by its horns. Why, if that ram was caught any other way than by its horns, it wouldn't be a good sacrifice. If it was caught by its legs, or if it was caught in the side, why, that lamb, we find, it wouldn't be perfect. It would have a blemish. And that lamb, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, why, he was absolutely, totally sinless. And so we find that Abraham took Isaac off of that altar and the ram was put in his place. Oh, how that reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took my place on the cross. I deserve to die. I deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ died for my sins. And so we find that Abraham, he put that ram on the altar. Now, what did Isaac do when they went and got that ram? I don't know. Did he hug it? He could have. Oh, listen, Isaac took it in that that ram was taking his place. What did he do with that ram? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But, oh, I know one thing, that Isaac was grateful. And the Lord said, now I know, Abraham. Yes, because that you were willing to obey me completely. That, you see, now I know that you're going to follow me. And so we find that here, the ram took the place, and Abraham and Isaac worshiped the Lord. Now, once again, I want to stress in this story that Isaac was willing to die. And that reminds me how the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to die. Do you remember when they came to the Garden of Gethsemane to take him, that when Judas betrayed him with a kiss, why, the Lord Jesus said to that crowd that came after them, just a word or two, and they all fell down backwards. Think of the power of the Lord Jesus. Why, all he had to do was to speak a word, and they fell backwards to the ground. You see, they couldn't have killed him unless the Lord Jesus would let them do it. And so again, the Lord Jesus came willingly. And as we talked about it even this morning at the Lord's Supper, why, we found out that it was his joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen, it was for you, and the great joy it was for him that you and I could be his children. Oh, tonight, I trust if you've never put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you'll do it before it's too late. So you see, the Lord Jesus, he gave himself on that cross. We also read that he could have spoke a word, but we also read that what the Lord Jesus could have done, he could have called for 10,000 angels. He could have called for that. He didn't need them, but he could have. For he has control over all things. And the Lord Jesus could have called for 10,000 angels to take him off of that cross. But he gave himself for you and for me. If you've never taken it in before, my friends, I trust tonight that you'll understand that Jesus loves you. That's why he died. Oh, how glad I am that the Lord Jesus died for me. That the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. And it's because of his love that I don't go to hell. No, I know. I'm not thinking. I'm not hoping. I know that I have eternal life because God's Word says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm glad he paid the price for my sin. Well, the story doesn't end there, but many people stop reading when they have read this much. But the story goes on in Genesis chapter 22 with a genealogy. And when people see genealogies, a lot of times what they do is they just skip over the genealogy. But oh, how important it is to read the genealogy. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, that is the last view that the world got of Jesus Christ. Everybody knows as a historical fact that Jesus Christ died. Everybody knows that. And everyone in the world, because we base even our calendars on the Lord Jesus Christ, people know that. But the interesting thing in this story, it says that Abraham returned down the mountain. But although it says that Abraham returned down the mountain, it does not say that Isaac went down the mountain. Now, we know that he did. We know that Isaac did if we continue to read God's word, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he returned down the mountain. The next time that we read of Isaac is not until we get to Genesis chapter 24. And in Genesis chapter 24 is where the genealogy comes in. Because at the end of Genesis chapter 22, when you read the genealogy, you are introduced to a young woman who becomes the bride of Isaac. And tonight, if you come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, or if you have come to know Him, then you are part of the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is also likened unto the church. There is only one true church. No matter where you may fellowship or go on Sunday, if you put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are in the true church. And, you see, you become part of the bride of Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and 3 days later, he arose from the dead. And this is the promise that he made. He said that he is coming back for his bride, for all those who have trusted in him, who are a member of the true church. And how do you become a member of the true church? Why, you become a member when you put your trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we call the event the rapture. He's going to come with a shout in the air. And when he comes with that shout, every fellow and girl and man and woman who know him as personal Savior, why, they're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And when that shout comes, and it could come any time now, because he says, I am coming back for my own. Only those who know him as Savior are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, the most important question for each one to ask themselves in this room tonight, am I part of the bride of Christ? Are you? Have you confessed your sins? Have you cried out to him for salvation? Why, the word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you ask him to save you and you confess your sins, he'll do that. He's got to do it because he's promised that. Oh, tonight, if you're not sure that he's your Savior, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you, or one of the counselors, or if you have any question at all, you get it settled tonight. Every eye closed and head bowed. Lord, again, we just want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you for your great love and the fact that you were willing to go to the cross so that we don't need to go to hell. We thank you for paying the price for our sins. So bless each one here tonight who has heard this word, that they might really consider if they're part of the true church, part of the bride of Christ. So, Lord, we ask thy blessing upon everyone, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lights are on, and thanks for your attention. Thanks for coming.